The first vart that I had ever thought of on the Haggadah, I think I was in 12th grade, if I'm not mistaken. One of my kids would at this point say T4, but it was a good vart, and I wanted to share it with you and maybe expand it a little bit and get some lessons out of it for our Pesach. Haba aleinu l'tayva. The Haggadah says, "Mitchila ayvde avaydezara hayu avaysenu, the achshav of karavano amakim l'avaydasay." Originally, our forefathers were ayvde avaydezara. They worshipped idols. Whoever this is referring to, it's not so clear. Some say it's referring to Terach, Avi Avram, but other people say he's not our avaysenu. Maybe it's referring to Avram Avinu in the early stage of his life before he was able to discover the Rabbeinu Shalom. But whatever it means, our forefathers were in some way or form. The Achshav Karvana Amakam Lavaydasa. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought us closer to his Havaydah. And this bothered me, because we know that the Gemara says that Maschil B'Gnosu Masayim B'Shevach, you're supposed to start the Haggadah speaking about the Gnos, sort of discussing the skeletons in the closet, as it were, talking about the fact that we were Avdei Avodah Zarah and that things did not always look so good for us, and then eventually Masayim B'Shevach to conclude on a high note with praise for the Rabbeinu Shleilam about how we have been brought out of Mitzrayim and how we become a great nation and how we're still alive today and talking about it. But this seems a little soon to be discussing the Masayim B'Shevach. We start Maschil B'Gnos, Mitchil Avdei Avodah Zarah Avaysenu. What's this V'Achshav Karavana Amakim L'Avaydasa? That seems to already be cutting to the chase, giving us a little bit of a sneak peek and as to what's going to happen at the end of the story. That's not the way a good storyteller would do things. First, you just build up the drama a little bit. Tell us about the Avodah Avaydasarah, tell about the Gnos a little bit, until we were finally able to be brought out of Mitzrayim and to become the nation that we became. But why does it say right away, Mitchila Avodah Avaydasarah Avaysenu, the Achshav Karavana Amakim L'Avaydasa? There's a machlekes Rambam and Ramban. At the beginning of this week's parsha, Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra is going to probably be getting short shrift this Shabbos all across the globe, because everybody, all Rabbanim, I believe, are giving their Shabbos Haggadah drashas this week, because next week is going to be, you know, craziness with Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos. So I don't think too many rabbis are going to be talking about Parshas Vayikra this week, but I just wanted to speak about it in the context of what we're speaking about today on this Vart of the Haggadah. Why do we bring karbanis, which is pretty much what Sefer Vayikra is all about? All these karbanis that the parsha talks about and all the parshiyos will talk about the Ayla and about the Chatas, the Asham, the Shlamim, the Parhelim Davar Shaltzibar, what's going on? Why are we bringing animal sacrifices? It doesn't sound like a regular thing to do. Why would we be taking an animal, sacrificing on a mizbeach? It sounds like not almost, we're used to it, so it's a frum thing. But if you would take a step back and look at it from an outsider's perspective, it seems a bit strange that we're taking animals and sacrificing these animals on an altar in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's really a machlekes, a very fundamental machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban, what the point of these karbanis are. What are we doing? The Rambam in Mar Nevuchim says something very surprising. He says that the point of karbanis, it's a very hard Rambam to understand, and that's why the Ramban completely doesn't like this pshat, but he brings it at the beginning of this week's parsha in his pirush. The Rambam writes that we were so enamored by Avodah Zarah, Klal Yisrael were, from the Mitzrayim, from all the nations of the world. This was very in vogue, to sacrifice to their pagan gods, perform these rituals of bringing animals as sacrifices and sprinkling blood and wine and all of these types of rituals. The Jewish people in Egypt were very, very impressed by this. They were very taken by this notion of what of exactly what the Goyim are doing and how amazing it was. Now, to us, it doesn't seem too attractive, but the whole Avodah Zarah thing to us seems very strange. But back in the time, it was like the taiva of the time. So just like today, we have our personal taivas, which we don't have to discuss right now, but you know, our dar is very into taivas nashim v'chule. That's everybody's going mishuga over, and movies and internet and this and that. Everything is that. And that we can very much understand. So that's how it was by Avodah Zarah at that time. People were going crazy over Avodah Zarah. They weren't so much into the taivas haguf. They were into the machshava and into the seichel. And they felt this was very cool. This was very... It made sense to them to run after Avodah Zarah, to bow down to idols, to bring karbanis to them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Rambam, in his infinite wisdom, understood that you can't just make people go cold turkey if this is what they're into. You can't just say, don't do this. You have to replace it with something else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to make a mitzvah of karbanis because I'm going to kasher this taiva that you have, this tremendous feeling that you are drawn to bring idols, to bring animals as sacrifices to a god. I'm going to make that as part of my Torah also. That's going to be a mitzvah in the Torah, or many mitzvahs in the Torah, to bring karbanis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to substitute, in order to provide a replacement interest for what you're going to be missing by becoming part of Klal Yisrael. I can't just say, okay, guys, there's no Avodah Zarah, there's no karbanis. That's the Goyim's thing. We don't do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't do that with you because you're too involved with that. You're too into it. You think it's so amazing. So I'm going to make my own karbanis. It's going to be holy. We're going to do it in a holy way. But the point of karbanis, according to the Rambam, is lafrusha me'isura, to take you away from the Israel of Avodah Zarah and to kasher it. I'm going to say there's a mitzvah of karbanis. Adam ki yakir mikem karban. It's an amazing Rambam. It needs a lot of explanation, and a lot of the mefarshim are very troubled by it, but no mefarsh is more troubled by it than the Ramban. The Ramban sees this as being, what's the Rambam talking about? He's very sharp. He's very strongly worded against the Rambam. He says, I don't know what the Rambam is talking about. You're telling me that this whole sefer of the Torah just came in order to, as he puts it, like to remove a person from an ugly practice? So we're giving mitzvahs about karbanis to make sure that you don't go into an Avodah Zarah mode. We're trying to wean you away. That's what karbanis is all about. He says, Adma Rishain, he brought the first karban. He brought a karban either the day that he was born. The Rambam says that as soon as he was Nivra, he brought a karban. Or maybe the day after, according to other Medrashim. But he brought a carbon right away. Now, there was no Avodah Zarah in the world at that time. There was only Adam Arishan and Hashem. That was it. So there were no pagan rituals at that point, but yet he brought a carbon. Clearly, it's not so easy just to say karbanis. It's for afrusha meisura. Nayach brought a carbon right after the mabul. That says mefurish in the Torah. Adam's carbon is not mefurish. That's just chazal. But Nayach, black and white in the Torah, Nayach brought karbanis to Hashem after the mabul. How would he bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the mabul if it's all avodah? There's no avodah zarah there. They weren't avodah zarah. Or if they were, after the mabul was a new, a clean slate, there was no... Nayach was not lohot achra avodah zarah. He wasn't running after avodah zarah that we needed to... He needed to bring a carbon to, like, wean himself away from it. That doesn't make sense, asks the Ramban. And he asks a few other questions. And basically the Ramban comes to the conclusion that a karban is from a lashon of to be karev, to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, we have sins, and when we bring a karban, what we're doing is we're saying that the flesh of the karban that I'm bringing should be instead of my flesh. The blood of the karban should be instead of my blood. And it's sort of like bringing yourself on the Mizbeach, sacrificing your own self to Hashem, and by doing so, via the carbon, via this animal, you get exceedingly close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Averis are removed, you have atonement, but even the carbonists that are not Lachaper, like for example a Shlamim, carbon Shlamim is not as a Kapara, it's not like a Chatas or an Asham or an Ayla. It's just to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I love you, Hashem. I'm bringing a carbon. The carbon is like me. I'm getting vicariously closer to you through the bringing of the carbonis. So says the Ramban. This is a fundamental machlekes Rambam and Ramban. What is going on with these carbonis in Sefer Vayikra? And it's kedai to just talk about that alone, if not for anything else. But getting back to our question about what the Haggadah means when it starts... We started out as being idol worshippers. The Achshav Kervanu Amakum Avedasa, now Kadosh Baruch Hu brought us closer to his Aveda, and we asked, well, that's very nice, but that's already giving away the store too early. You're cutting to the chase. You're telling us already what the Messiah B'Shevach is. And that's not the way it should be. And what I would want to suggest is that maybe what the Baal Haggadah means is you want to know how bad it was our forefathers were so attached to Avodah Zarah, whoever our forefathers were. Mitchila Avodah Zarah, I was saying, you know how bad it got? The Achshav Kervan HaMakom Avedasai. It was so bad, the taiva for Avodah Zarah that our forefathers had, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring us close to his Avodah. What does Avodah mean? Avodah Sakarbanis. Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. We were given a whole sefer, perhaps I think the bulk of the sefer HaMitzvahs, the bulk of the Targ Mitzvahs probably revolve around these karbanis. Every karban with their own mitzvah, so many averis involved. If you mess up the karban with pigol and with neisar and shchutei chutz, all these different averis that might come about by messing up the karbanes. There are literally dozens and dozens and dozens of mitzvahs and averis that are given, all because we were at first, according to the Rambam, Ovid Avodah Zarah, to the degree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to give us this whole parsha karbanes, only in order to lure us away from that, so we would not be having this taiva for Avodah Zarah. So it's not a glimpse into the future of how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tonight. It's a glimpse of how bad the past was. We were so into Avodah Zarah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to bring us closer to him through his Avodah, because it was a substitute for the Avodah Zarah that Klal Yisrael were very, very impressed by. Notice that the Lashon of the Baal Haggadah is the Achshav Kervanu HaMakom LaAvodasai. It's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Avodah, but it's almost like in a nod to the Ramban. The Ramban says that it's a Kirva thing, that Karbanis is from the Lashon of Karev. The Baal Haggadah, I think, is alluding to both elements, the Rambam and the Ramban, at the same time. The Avodas HaKarbanis was Lafrusha Me'isura. But there's also an element of Kervanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the bringing of Karbanis, through the Mitzvah HaKarbanis, brings us close to Him, brings us very near to Him. You know, the Meshech Chachma brings this machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban, and he sort of is machria. He says they're both right. They're both right. The Rambam is right and the Ramban is right. He says it depends what we're talking about. The bamos, which is like the private altars, the backyard altars that we used to have before the Beis HaMikdash or after the Mishkan, at certain times in history we had private mizbeches called bamos. That was only in order to be mafresh people from Isser because of Avodah Zarah. The Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, it's different. That's for Kirva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how, and he proves that that's what he wanted to say. I was thinking to say a little bit differently, that really the Rambam is right and the Ramban is right. But it all depends on where we're holding in our lives. The Rambam is saying that the point of Karbanis is a Sur Meiratz, to take us away from bad. We're interested in Avodah Zarah. Kadosh Baruch Hu has to replace that interest with something holy. The Ramban is saying Karbanis is not a Sur Meiratz. Karbanis is an Asei Tov. Look at the Karbanis as a way to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the positive. And I was thinking that maybe both are true, but it all depends on our perspective. What do we need in life? Do we look at things as a sur meira? Is that where we're holding in life? That, okay, I got to do this because, you know, I need it because I have an addiction. I'm addicted to my desire. I have to replace that addiction with something else. Okay, karbanis. Or maybe I don't have that addiction. Maybe it's not a time that I need karbanis, or I'm not a person that needs karbanis. I don't have any interest in Avodah Zarah. Says the Ramban, okay, then great. If you don't need it for that, then let's look at it from a different perspective. Let's look at it in the positive, as a way to get closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's two sides of the same coin. They don't have to necessarily be arguing. Both Elu ve'Elu could be exactly right. It just depends who we are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving this to us, and depending on our personal needs, we could use it either way. We could use it as a tool in order to wean ourselves away from Avodah Zarah. Or we could use it, if we don't need that tool, we could use it in a positive manner to propel ourselves closer to the Rabbeinu Shlom's Avodah. The Achshav Kervanu Hamakim L'Avodasei. There's an element of Kirva, and at the same time there's a place of, in order to be pirish ourselves from the Avodah Zarah, He made us do this Aveda, but it all depends on who we are, where we're holding in life. The Yantav of Pesach, Rabbi Isai, I look at it in the same exact way. There's a Sur Meira element to Pesach, and there's an Asei Tov element to Pesach, and depending on where we're holding personally, we'll look at Pesach as different. It's the same Yantiv, but two different people can look at it in two different ways, just like two different people can look at the carbon in two different ways. And by the way, it's not accidental that the carbon Pesach was the central theme of the Yantiv of Pesach. Everything surrounded the carbon Pesach. Now we don't have one, unfortunately, but when the Beis HaMikdash was around, the whole Avodah was the carbon Pesach. How many mitzvahs are involved in the Karban? How many lessons do we take from the Karban Pesach? Pesach is a time, like the Karban Pesach, or like all Karbanis, that it all depends where we're holding to understand the element of the Yantiv. And let me explain. If you would take a man on the street interview, a poll, and ask people what they think of Pesach, when you ask somebody, what do you think about Pesach, you'll get different answers, menakotza lakotza, depending on who you're asking. When you're asking people that are not holding in Kedusha, in Tara, in Yom Tovim, in the world of Mayadim, they look at Pesach as the worst 8 days of the year, or 9 days of the year. 8 days of the year. They look at it as a very, you know, problematic time. We have no pizza. We have to clean our rooms. We have to put silver foil over our steering wheel. We have to, you know, do everything that, you know, it's very hard. Have to eat matzahs. I can't eat my pizza. I can't. How am I going to get through this? This year is a 3-day Yontev Rachman and Litzlan. You know, you have Shabbos going into 2 days. It's like you know, if you just were an alien landing from Mars, and you hear the way some people talk about a 3-day Yontev, you think it's like, you know, Tisha B'Av, you know, cubed. I had a friend who was he was an Elter Abacher. He was dating for quite a while. He was already in his 30s. And he was in yeshiva with me. I was young, and, you know, he was already in his 30s. We were very close. And he was going out with a girl. And finally, like, he found a girl. He liked her a lot. It was going really, really seriously. And the whole yeshiva was, like, davening for him that it should work out, because he was, you know, he's mid-30s already. He needed to get married. And one night he came back from to the dorm. He was, you know, came back from a date, and he looked a little depressed. I said, "How'd the date go?" He said, "It's over." I said, "What happened?" It was around this time of year. He says, "Well, we were talking about this. We were talking about Pesach, and we were talking about matzahs. It came up in conversation, what type of matzahs, hand matzahs, machine matzahs, what type of hand matzahs, whatever." And she made an off-the-cuff statement, this girl. "I hate matzahs. I hate matzah." That's what she said. He says, at that moment, I said, "I cannot marry this girl." You could say that matzahs don't agree with me, you know, gastronomically, it doesn't, you know, they hurt my stomach. Okay, that's a fair statement to make. You could say that, you know, matzahs are, you know, it's not good for the teeth. Sometimes I, you know, but to say that I hate matzahs, I cannot marry a girl that says she hates matzahs. How do you say the word hate and matzahs in the same sentence? Now, I don't know if that guy made the right decision. He's still not married, by the way, and that's now he's in his 60s, probably. But so maybe it was just he was looking for some teretz. But I think there was a valid point. I don't remember what my reaction was at the time. I probably thought he was crazy. But looking back, there was validity to what he was saying. If you're saying that you hate matzahs, or that you don't know how you're going to get through Pesach without your pizza, without your whatever, you're looking at the Yontev of Pesach for the Lavan, for the Sur Meirah. You're looking at it as just, all right, you know, God wants me to do this. I'm going to take the bullet for God, and I'm going to do this Yontev called Pesach. Do I like it? No. Do I want to do it? No. But I'll do it. That's one way of looking at it. You know, there's a great Hasidic Shavart. It says, "Lech tech acharai bamidbar be'eretz loy zerua." What, come after me, follow me into the midbar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, you followed me in the midbar be'eretz, in a land loy zerua, that wasn't planted, meaning you went out into a desert for me. So the Chassidus Shavart is that you went out be'eretz loy zerua. You took us into a terrain that was planted with loy. Be'eretz loy zerua. It was planted with the word loy. All we see in the Torah is lavin. Everything is, I can't do this, I can't do that. Shabbos, I can't use my phone on Shabbos. I can't drive my car on Shabbos. I can't watch movies on Shabbos. I can't write. I can't talk on the phone. What's going on? I can't do this. People look at it as an Eretz Loy Zeruah. They look at Yiddishkeit as all the things that I can't do, the sur meira. I got to just stay away from the things that I can't do, and that's all I see. Like the carbon, from the Rambam's perspective, I'm addicted to stuff. All right, I'll bring a carbon because that will hopefully get me away from what I can't do. But it's what I can do. And then there's another way of looking at Pesach, and that's Lech Techa Acharei Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zeruah, the simple meaning of the pasuk. Klal Yisrael, in their great love, in their great dedication, HaKadosh Baruch Hu followed him into a midbar. Now we have to think about that for a second. A lot of times, like, we don't stop and think about what's going on because we're so used to it from children, the storyline, that we know it already. But think about that for a second. If I would tell you that, hey, you want to come with me on a trip? I don't know, where are you going? Well, it's going to be like, I don't know exactly where we're going. We're going to go into the midbar. I'm going to drive into, you know, some desert in Arizona. Okay, what are we going to eat? I don't know. No plan. You're packing food? No food. We don't know yet. We'll see how things unfold. Okay, any stores around? Any malls? Any pizza? No, everything. You just follow me blindly. Imagine doing that. Now imagine millions and millions of people together doing that. Walking into a midbar without any plan other than the fact that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to follow me. Mashcheni, acherecha narutza. Pull me, says Klal Yisrael, and I will run after you. Be'eretz Leizeruah. I'm gonna go into this desert for you. That's an amazing act of Mesiras Nefesh that we don't understand how great that is. Pesach for so many people is not a time of what you can't do, what you can't eat, where you can't go. It's a time of love. It's an unconditional bond with the Rabbeinu Shalom. V'achshav kervanu hamakam avadasa. Don't look at it as an avaida. Don't look at it as the Rasha of Maha Avaida Azayis Lachem. There's so much Avaida here. It's too laborious for me. But V'achshav kervanu, you put the stress on the kervanu. You brought us near. You loved us. Ahavta isanu. V'ratzisa banu. V'remam tanu mikol l'shaynes. You took us out of Mitzrayim because you loved us. You loved us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the infinite God in the world, loves us. Imagine that for a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Now, we might not understand that, what that means even, but there is a cosmic love that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. When I say us, I mean you. And I mean me. Every individual in Klal Yisrael, whether we're a chacham, a rasha, sheni yedei lisha, a tam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a tremendous love for us. The love was really began in Mitzrayim, on Pesach. That's when this love affair started. And that's what Shir HaShirim, which is what we lay on Pesach, is all about. And by the way, after the shmuz is over, everybody's going to get a copy of my Pirish on Shir HaShirim, Shir HaSalevi. Only if you're here. So it was a good move to come. You should see what I'm going to give out next month. But the Shir HaShirim is a love story. My father, Lev Shalom, used to say that he had a friend in yeshiva who had a... Maybe I should probably clean this up for... but this is what he used to say, that he had a friend in yeshiva that was dating a girl and he was madly in love with her, if I may say so. And he wanted to like express his ava for her in a certain way. So what he did was he had a postcard, which was very popular in those days. Very few people use them anymore today. But a postcard is basically the size of maybe like an index card. He wrote the entire Sefer Shir HaShirim in micrograph in like very small handwriting on a postcard and sent it to her. I really hope it got to her, because that's a lot of work. Because the simple Taich of Shir HaShirim is a love story. Now, if you look in the Art Scroll translation, like in the Siddur, every Siddur has a Shir HaShirim right before Mincha and Shabbos, because a lot of people have a minhag to say Shir HaShirim before Mincha and Shabbos, Sfaradim especially. But if you look in the Art Scroll translation of Shir HaShirim, it's not too graphic, it's not too exciting, because they sort of take Rashi's interpretation of Shir HaShirim and clean the whole thing up. But if you ever get your hands on like a plain translation of Shir HaShirim, it's like almost you feel like I shouldn't be reading this. It's very graphic in a literal sense. And obviously that's not what Shlomo HaMelech intended when he wrote it. But it is a love story. After all the Rashis and after all the Chazal that give the real interpretation of what Shlomo HaMelech meant, but on the very literal level, it's a love story between a man and a woman. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Hashem is the greatest love story that was ever told and ever existed in the history of the world. In fact, there are Svarim HaKadoshim that write that the reason why the concept of love exists in this world between a man and a woman, and basically isn't that what every novel and what every movie and what every play and Shakespeare, isn't that really what it's all about? It's all about a love between a man and a woman. Why is there this romance, this element of romance in the world, of love? So the reason, says the Svarim HaKadoshim, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the human heart to understand how to love Him. If we're able to understand the love of a woman, then we could extend that same feeling, that same sensation of love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if you think what I just said is blasphemy, I'd like to share with you a Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Yud, Halacha Gimel. And he says as follows. The Ketzad Hi Ha'ava HaRe'uya. What is the appropriate love for Hashem? There's a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. How do you do that exactly? You send God flowers? How do you love Hashem? Hu Sheyev Es Hashem Ava Gedoyla Yisera Azam Oid. You love Hashem with an exceeding great and very strong love. Ashtei nafshei kishura b'avas Hashem, so that his soul is tied and bound to the love of Hashem. V'nimsa shoyge b'tamid, finding himself in a constant tremor. Ki'ilu chayla chali ha'ava, as if he were suffering from love sickness. If a person is infatuated with a girl, with a woman, he can't stop thinking about that woman. That's the reality. That's the way the Ava should be between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. If we have Avas Hashem properly, we should be obsessed with loving Hashem, obsessed about Him at all times, lovesick. Bein be shiftai, whether we're sitting, bein be kumai, whether we're standing, bein be shoach v'shez, when we're eating, when we're drinking, you're always thinking about that girl, and that's how it should be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeser mizeh tiavas Hashem, nay, more than the ava that a man has for a woman should be the love that you have for Hashem, b'lev ayavav, shoigim ba'atamid, you were thinking about Him constantly, with all our hearts, with all our souls, v'hu sheshleima amar derech mashal ki chaylas ava ani. This is what Shlomo HaMelech writes in Shir HaShirim, that I am lovesick. He wasn't talking about a girl. He was talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am sick with love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't stop thinking about you. V'chol Shir HaShirim mashal hu linyan zeh, says the Rambam. The whole Shir HaShirim is a mashal. Don't misunderstand what Shir HaShirim is. It's not about a sensual love that exists between a man, a physical man, and a physical woman. It's about the sensual love that exists between the Rabbeinu Shlom Kaviyachol and Klal Yisrael. If you read Shir Hashirim from cover to cover, which, by the way, you have to in order to get the copy, I'm joking, but you see that it's not a perfect love story. It's not like, okay, they lived happily ever after. You know, they loved each other, and it was perfect from then on. That's not the way it happens. I don't want to give away the end of the story here, but there's a lot of ups and downs in Shir Hashirim. You have times that are tremendous with Ava. You have times in history, and this is really a history lesson because it takes us from Mitzrayim, Pesach, through Shavuos, Matan Torah, and then it takes us through the times that we were in the Midbar, and then we went to Eretz Yisrael, and then it took us into the time of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and then it sort of takes a crash dive into Churban Beis HaMikdash. It alludes to Purim between the two Batei Mikdash. Then we come back to the second Beis HaMikdash, and it describes that, and then we have Hanukkah alluded to in the middle, and then the second Churban. Ultimately, it will end with Mashiach, but it's like a roller coaster ride, and that's really what love is. Love is not a perfect existence. That doesn't happen. Not even in Hollywood does that happen. There's ups and downs. There's times that things are great, times that things are really lousy, times where things are in the middle. But ultimately, there's a tremendous love that always exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael at all times. We sin, and then we suffer. And then we do tshuva, and then we come back, and then we sin again, and we suffer. Sort of like what we do in our daily lives. But that should not shake the Ava. The Ava always stays firm. Belev Ayavav. Rabbi Kiva says, in the introduction to Shir Hashirim, and Rashi brings it in his introduction to Shir Hashirim, L'haya ha'aylam kedai, k'yayim shenitin by Shir Hashirim li'Yisrael. The whole world was not worthy as much as it was worthy the day that Shir Hashirim was given to Klal Yisrael. Shekol haksuvim kaidesh. All the other books of Tanakh are holy. The Shir Hashirim kaidesh kadashim. Shir Hashirim is kaidesh. It's the holy of holies of all the books of Tanakh. Amazing. Says Rabbi Victor Miller something that only he would be allowed to say. If I would say this, they'd probably ask me to find a new job. Or listen to what Rabbi Victor Miller said. Rabbi Victor Miller said that Dafka Rabbi Akiva was the one that said this about Shir Hashirim. That Shir Hashirim is the holy of holies more than any other sefer. You know why? Because Rabbi Akiva, of all Tanoim, of all Amiraim, understood what selfless love was all about. He understood it. He was married to the daughter of Kalba Savua. Rabbi Akiva was, by his own admission, an Am Haaretz. It's not my words, it's the Gemara. He was an Am Haaretz. The first 40 years of his life, he learned very little. And then he had an epiphany at one point. Chazal say he saw the water dripping on a rock, and that made an impression on him. V'chule. He started learning, and then he married the daughter of Kalba Savua, who was the best shidduch in the world. She was the daughter of the richest gevir in Yerushalayim, Kalba Savua, that the Gemara speaks about in Gittin. And he did not want the shidduch. The father said, well, who are you bringing? You're bringing like a simple guy that doesn't know anything. Why don't you get the best guy in Lakewood? What do you need Rabbi Akiva for, Akiva ben Yosef for? I'll get you any guy you want. It's not a problem. What do you need him for? She saw in him something special. She married him against her father's wishes. Her father disowned her as a result of this. It wasn't pleasant. They had to live in abject poverty on a straw pile of straw. They didn't have mattresses. They didn't have beds. They didn't have anything. They were so poor. But they had the love between one another. And she committed her life to him, and he committed his life to her. And then when he was successful with his endeavors, and he came back, he had 24,000 Talmidim, He said to all of them, Shalivi Shalochem Shalahi, all that we have, all that's mine, and all that's yours is hers because of what she gave me with her unconditional love. Eventually, by the way, the Gemara says that Kalba Savua was Mater Neder, and he basically gave all of his money to Rabbi Akiva and his wife, and they became very wealthy. But this was a love story. Rabbi Akiva understood what selfless, unconditional love means, and therefore Rabbi Akiva was the one of all the Tanaim to say that the story of Shir HaShirim, the Megillah of Shir HaShirim, is the holy of holies, because he understood what love was. We could look at Pesach as a time of Aveda. I have to go home, I gotta shop, I gotta schlep, I gotta clean, I gotta buy the matzahs, I gotta eat the matzah and the maror, the dalakaisas, oh my gosh, 3-day yantif, Shir HaShirim, yeah, all right, well, you know, Jews have gone through other terrible things in history, we can get through the next week. That's one way of looking at Pesach. That's the Sur Meirah way of looking at Pesach, focusing on the Avodah, Ma Avodah Zayis Lachem. Or we could look at the Yantav of Pesach for what it really is. It's the Kervanu. It's the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us close to Him on Pesach. People that are receptive to this, people that understand the true nature of what Pesach is, don't look at Pesach as a chore. They look at Pesach as an opportunity of tremendous ava. If you look in the Siddur HaGra, somebody once pointed this out to me, when it says, Ahavta isanu v'ratzisa ban v'ramtan v'kol ha'shaynes, each of them is a reference to a different one of the Shalosh Regalim that we say this Atta v'chartanu on. And the Gra says that when it says, Ahavta isanu, that's the yantav of what? Pesach. Because Pesach is about Avas Hashem. It's all about Ava. It's about love. If you're interested in loving Hashem, you will find no better time to work on this love and to foster this love and to endear yourself to Hashem and to be able to feel the iris of Pesach coming down on you. No greater time to do that than Pesach. It's a question that we have, and it defines not just what Pesach is, it helps us define ourselves. Because if we find ourselves now thinking about Pesach in the negative, like many people do, that says more about us than it does about Pesach. It speaks about how we have an attitude of Sur Meirah, that we look at it like, okay, we're addicted to our taivas, to our pizzas, to our movies, to our that. So we have to, you know, all right, we'll get through it. But, you know, I'll use Pesach as a way to break some of my bad habits. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. But by doing that, we're missing out on the whole story, on the whole purpose of Pesach. Pesach is one word. Pesach is Ava. It's a love that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. It's the Avas Kulei Sayach. It's the love that happened at our early stage in history. The nuptials, the time that we first, so to speak, met HaKadosh Baruch Hu and loved Him, and He loved us, and we committed ourselves to Him, to going into that midbar against all odds, with no provisions, no promises, other than the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, come. And Klal Yisrael responded, Mashcheni acharecha narutza, just draw me and I'm going to come after you. I will follow you to the ends of the world. And that's what Pesach is all about. Somebody asks you in one word what Pesach is, it's Ava. It's only Ava. If you're interested in a relationship with a Rabbeinu Shalom, Pesach is your yamtiv. Pesach is your time to work on just that. And there's so many tools. The matzah is not a terrible thing to hate. The matzah is mechla de mamnusa. It's food of emunah. You eat matzah, you take in matzah, and the love and the emunah and everything goes inside of you. It's one of the few mitzvahs that we have to ingest something, to bring something into ourselves. We don't have karbanis anymore. Bava Nisein Aram, we used to have a mitzvah to eat karbanis. What's the only chafetza mitzvah that we have? Obviously, there's a mitzvah to eat stuff, like on other Yom Tovim and on Shabbos, we have a mitzvah to eat, but it's eating whatever we're eating. There's nothing specifically prescribed to eat. Comes Pesach, eat matzah, eat maror, drink the dalet kaisis. We're ingesting all of the mitzvahs inside of us. It's a rare opportunity to bring the mitzvahs into our vikarvanu, into our kirbayim, into our innards. We're bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The love goes in. It seeps into every pore, but we have to be receptive to that. Mitzvah Hashem, this is the greatest bracha that we could have, is to be able to fully realize what Pesach is. And that separates a Ben Taira from the rest of the universe. Everybody else, you'll hear a lot of chatter and talk about all this type of thing, the negatives of Pesach, and how difficult it is. But we know, we don't have to respond to that. We don't have to disabuse people of their notions if that's what they want to think. If that's how their perspective, we could try to. But for ourselves, as we enter into the Yontav of Pesach, into this rarefied airspace of Pesach, for us to really understand what it is, not what it's not, but what it is our Avaida. The Avaida is the Kervanu. To bring us close to you, Hashem. You gave us this tremendous yantiv to reenact what happened. It's also the only yantiv that we have to chayav adam liris es atzmai, kilu yatzim etzem. I have to believe myself that I went out of Egypt, because it's a time to reenact this love. It's a time to role play and to once again step into the shoes of Klal Yisrael as they left Egypt and realize the love that they must have had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to leave Egypt. Tremendous opportunity that we have on Yontif of Pesach, and it's an opportunity that we give over to our children. Vigadeta Levincha, because love can be given over to a child. And if they don't hear it from their father, then it's not going to be with that same love. And when we're fathers in Mirtz Hashem, we have to remember to give over the story with tremendous love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the love of a parent to a child is the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. And the love of a child to a parent is the love that we should have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeicha to experience the Eiris HaPesach, the great lights illuminating upon us on Pesach. If you feel it, if you're into it, you'll feel it. If you're not into it, it'll just be another meal, the Seder. But if you feel it, you'll feel the special nature, you'll feel the tremendous iris of Pesach illuminating, warming, bringing you closer, bringing the family closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zeichet this year, Mashiach should come. We should be able to be zeicha to eat from the actual Karban Pesach. Not just lafrushe meisura, like the Rambam says, but really because we want to get closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We want to use the Karbanis, and we want to use the Seder, and we want to use the Mitzvah Halayla and the entire Yomtiv as a vehicle, not just to stay away from Lavin, Baritz Loizarua, but to actually enter into this beautiful terrain of Eretz Lezerua, of a place of pure Amuna, that even though we don't always have a plan, we don't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, but we trust Him, like we always trusted Him. And just like in Mitzrayim, it turned out to be the greatest decision that Klal Yisrael made, to throw our entire bundle on Him and to trust Him fully. Whenever we do that with our own personal lives, to begin to stop making all of the complicated cheshbonos, how are we going to be able to do this? We have to do that, and you know, with our lives, with our careers, with our thing. You know, we're so busy trying to calculate everything, but there's also an element that we have to throw everything on the Rabbeinu Shlom and say, I have to do my Ishtadlis, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm trusting you. I don't know how I'm going to be able to pull this off. I don't know how I'm going to pay for these things. I don't know how I'm going to do these things. I don't know how, but Lech Techa Acharei B'Midbar Be'eretz Lezer, I'm going to follow you because I love you. It's Hashem, we should be zeichet to have a beautiful Yontif, and we should be zeichet to all of the opportunities that the Yontif of Pesach affords each and every one of us.